And here we are in the Mahoning Valley.
How are we doing, bud?
Doing pretty good, Joe.
Good.
How you doing?
Real good.
Awesome. Well,
let's get it kicked off.
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
First time, first time on the air in Youngstown Studio. It was nice visiting you here the other day. It's a gorgeous setup you have here.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Got a powerhouse here of media in the Mahoning Valley.
So. I saw you roll up on your little yellow bike there.
Yeah, we got the pedicab out today.
Okay.
Big show at the Covelli Center tonight with Papa Roach and Breaking Benjamin. Not really my cup of tea of music. My partner with the business, Dan Martini, and his brother, Joe Martini, they're into that stuff. You know, that kind of the what do you call it? Hard rock.
Yeah. It's a little heavier.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on the West Side, so I knew Austintown people who listened to it, you know, but. But there's been some good shows down at the Covelli Center and at the Youngstown Amphitheater. So I've been getting my workout in with the pedicab going around. It's good to be back out there after the year we've had last year, you know, so it's good to be back out there pedaling.
Right. All right. So first show here, why don't you make your introduction? Tell people where you came from, who you are, and what we're doing here.
Jacob Harver, Youngstown born and raised, grew up
Boom.
On the West Side. Yep. Been a life longer here. Although I do love to travel too. So, I mean, I think, you know, I like to think of, you know, very much quintessential Youngstown, but like I said, I like to travel. So, I mean, I get a good understanding of other cities too. So I think kind of like my life's work has been to kind of like bring Youngstown to the world and bring the world to Youngstown in some ways. And I think like some of the best compliments I got on like the original Lemon Grove is that it's a place you would like find in New York or Chicago, but it was always quintessentially Youngstown too. And so now having the Knox building down the street, still doing the same thing there too, of like making a cultural and entertainment destination that's both quintessentially Youngstown, but also world class as well. So,
entrepreneur, owns a bunch of businesses, doing a bunch of stuff for Youngstown. So, what do you have down here?
Well, we got the Knox building with the Federal on the first floor.
Got
like
it.
I said, I partner with the Martini brothers and sister with Sophia. She's the real brains behind the operation.
Nice.
So we got the Federal. I'm actually wearing the shirt right now today.
Nice.
So we got the Federal on the first floor, casual American fare, burgers, sports bar type thing, you know, NFL Sunday ticket, watch the game.
I had barbecue chicken on Sunday, by the way, and it was amazing. It was really good.
Awesome. Yeah. You said you were going by there after Silly Sign Sunday.
Yeah,
I saw you there with the family at Silly Sign Sunday.
Yep.
That was a good day out with Oh Wow putting that on. Oh Wow's downtown, the old McCrory's building. That was also an old Five and Dime. So my building, the Knox building, was Woolworth for most of its history, Woolworth Five and Dime. Before that, it was SH Knox Five and Dime, and that's where we get the Knox building name from.
All right, so Federal's on the first floor, so you have an operating restaurant with a little bit of entertainment venue in the back. I saw that stage in the rear.
Yeah,
side.
Yeah, we do some shows too.
Okay.
Actually, this Friday is No Funk No Justice playing on the first floor.
Okay,
no, it's actually Saturday. This Saturday, playing on the first floor. Then the second floor, that's Lemon Grove 3.0. That's the newest Lemon Grove. And so we do special events and concerts up there, but still work in progress. There's still some more work I have to do before it's open 7 days a week. But that's coming at some point.
And what's Lemon Grove? I mean, where's the name come from?
Originally, so I always wanted a coffee shop, kind of a coffee shop, but also I knew you had to have alcohol to pay the bills, but quintessentially a coffee shop. So I opened up my original location two doors down. It's currently O'Donnell's. But originally helped build that place out with the owners of the Imbibe. And I was just renting there before I got the Knox building. And so originally coffee shop, sandwiches, concert venue and stuff. So I started off there with the original Lemon Grove before getting the Knox building.
Okay.
But the name was just kind of a random thing. I always liked the song Shady Grove. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I know, Shady Grove, my little love, I'm bound for Shady Grove, yep. So I was like that, but, you know, Shady, you know, maybe not the best kind of, people call downtown Youngstown Shady enough as it is. We don't need to add to the name of it. So figure something fresh and clean, opened up to Lemon Grove and the encyclopedia.
What grows in groves? Lemons!
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it!
And when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade,
there
so that's
go.
What we do, you know. So yeah, that's how I kind of got my start with being an entrepreneur downtown, before I got the Knox building in 2012. And then it was like really just too much trying to run a bar and restaurant by myself while trying to rehabilitate the building. So luckily I met the Martinis at the right time. And so we partner on that, and we were dramatized for an international audience on Bar Rescue in 2015. Sweet. And so it was John Taffer who renamed us the Federal.
Okay.
Which I don't know. We've always been kind of iffy on the name because we're right next door to the Federal Building. So some people get confused. You know, they see the Federal Building over top of V2 and they think, is that the Federal? You know, so I don't know. Maybe eventually might change it again. Yeah. Back, but yeah.
When the contract expires.
Yeah. You know? Actually, yeah. Luckily, we didn't have to sign too much, although we didn't read it anyway. So who knows? Maybe all we right. are obliged. We just sign stuff, you know.
So I've not been to the Lemon Grove, but Jacob here is going to give me a little tour coming up, and I'm going to get some good pictures. So if any of you have not been down there, we're going to share some of it on social media. So look for that.
Yeah. And then the third floor is McKelvey Gallery, which is also home to Youngstown Cinema and Funny Farm Comedy Club, which Funny Farm is back in action. Actually, we have a big show coming up October 16th with Basil, which I know you got Fast Freddy down here. I'm sure you remember from like Bob and Tom, like Basil's on there before and stuff. So yeah, he draws a big crowd. Actually, the day before that, too, Maple Turner III, great Youngstown artist. We're doing a gala with him, and that's going to be a really nice night. So, yeah, a bunch of stuff's happening. Yeah, third floor is McKelvey Gallery with the Crest Lounge in the front. The Crest was another Five and Dime that was downtown right across the street from us, and now it's a parking lot because, well, I don't know how far when you get into the weeds with all that, but a lot of historic buildings were torn down downtown because of irresponsible parties.
You rehabbed yours.
Exactly.
Like you brought it back from death's door, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty close in some ways. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what drives me crazy is when people actually have money. I've never had money in my life, you know, but, you know, I've been able to make it work with both grit and luckily getting the loans I need to get. But people that actually have money that sat on these buildings for years and let them decay, that's what drives me crazy. And probably one of the best short films ever made anywhere, but about Youngstown, made in Youngstown. Chris Strollo made it in 1996 called The Appraiser. And it was about how them tearing down historic buildings down here and kind of like kind of scandal behind it. And what's really heartbreaking about it is Scott Pregandy was featured in that because he had an art studio downtown. Scott just passed away. But in 1996, Scott was probably in his like early to mid 30s. And, you know, he had so much hope for doing stuff down here and he had to fight against the city. And he ended up saving those buildings down there, which is now the YBI, but he ended up losing the space. And he went on to redo the Cedars patio, which was a gorgeous. Do you remember old Cedars?
Yeah. Yep.
Which he ended up doing the landscaping at the old Cedars there. And we're just really special guy, but talented artist. And yeah, like I said, he just passed away. But yeah, if you watch Chris Strollo's 96 film, The Appraiser, it talks about what happened with a lot of the buildings down here. So
now that theater that's almost across from you down there, they have the facing. I forget what the heck.
The State Theater's down next to the Draft House. They say the facade, which independent kids at the time helped save that. They wanted to just tear it all down, but fought to save that facade. And then the Paramount was another historic theater that was torn down a few years ago. All that remains of that is just like a pillar, which we tried to save that too. Actually, the great Anita Lynn, who really helped revive Ballet Western Reserve, she spearheaded a project to save the old Paramount, at least save the facade of it and do an amphitheater behind it. And it probably would have happened if Jay Williams would have stayed in town and two, if Ted Strickland would have won again for governor. It probably would have actually happened, but instead, as things happen, it did not.
Right. Yeah. So what are we pushing ahead, barreling ahead with downtown now, as far as any new buildings need some help or anything moving in that you're aware of down there?
There's a lot of stuff happening. It's interesting. The East End coming alive. Derek McDowell got a cool old historic factory for Youngstown Flea on the East End. And Penguin Beer got one of the old Pollock and Republic warehouses, which they're doing as their brewery. So it's cool to see the East End come alive because that's always been a lot quieter down there than on West Federal. So that's cool what's happening down there.
What about that nightclub that was down by you as well? That what was it? Blue something or other?
Liquid Blue. Yeah. Liquid what's Blue. Happening with that? I believe it's available for lease.
Okay.
But yeah. Sadly, that caught fire. I guess maybe been almost 2 years now.
Really?
Yeah. And so they almost lost the whole building. But yeah, they fought to save it. But yeah, everything burned up in the nightclub. But I believe you could lease that.
And then Silver's building that
just
was
sold.
Purchased.
Yeah. I don't know too much about what the plan is there. I know the woman owns Quick Mart. Or like a medical mart thing. I don't know the exact plans there. They're talking about doing apartments there. I just hope, you know, Larry has the boxing gym down there, and I always like Larry a lot. So I hope he still does his boxing gym somewhere. And then there's the artist Jim Pernado upstairs who has a studio.
It's amazing. It's a, like it's a museum. Cool, yeah, it really is.
So I don't know what's going to happen with the art and all that. So I don't know what's going on that aspect of it all. But yeah, I mean, it's a gorgeous building, and you know, I'd love to see it revived. I mean, that's my whole thing, is you want to see as much action in these buildings possible, but you want to keep the actual community down here, you know. And it's like, the cultural community really kept Youngstown alive when they said it was a ghost town here. It was never really a ghost town right. down here. There was a great cultural community and, you know, Youngstown community down here. And I just want to make sure that our downtown, you know, rejuvenates economically, but at the same time, it needs to be centered on the community, and there needs to be more business opportunities for actual Youngstown residents instead of, you know, main enemy is gentrification. You don't want to just, you know, sell our soul out and not have what makes Youngstown special. And so hopefully more Youngstown residents start businesses down here, and the city keeps its focus on them.
Here's my challenge for this real estate that we're doing right here with this show, where you have a lot of people that even came before us. You had like Phil Kidd and those guys that really carried the water for, you know, getting the communication out to the suburbs to be able to come downtown and do their thing. No matter what is said, it always like has some energy in the short term, but then it kind of fizzles and something gets in the way. But so our challenge is to keep that line of communication and talk about it in a way where this isn't like an idealistic thing that's not practical, but we can set it up so that it integrates in with the rest of the stuff. It's like, we're not going to become a Boardman, right? Because Boardman's just its own thing, but we are a Youngstown, and I don't necessarily think we should lose that identity.
Exactly. And we're right between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and like, we're just like the perfect, you know, mid-sized city between those two larger cities. And, you know, I always like use the analogy of like the Austin of the North. You know, Austin, Texas is right between like Dallas and Houston. It's like triangulate between Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. And we can kind of be the same thing, being right between New York and Chicago, between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, making a, you know, cultural community that is a destination for people. And kind of part of all that is this other project I'm working on called Mahoning Movement, which is to advocate connecting the Stavich Bike Trail to the Ravenna Portage County Hike and Bike Trail. So if you take that entire line, that's the old Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal, and that's what originally really put Youngstown on the map. Sure, we had a small iron industry, but, you know, without actually transportation networks, it couldn't go anywhere. When the canal went through, that really connected our area, you know, to the larger region and really put Youngstown and Warren on the map. So the Stavich Bike Trail goes between Struthers and Newcastle. Then to the west of us, between Ravenna and Akron, that's the Portage County Hike and Bike that turns into the Summit County Hike and Bike Trail. We are the missing link between those two trails. So if we connect that, it would be great not only for residents for transportation, but also bringing in people passing through. That's one of my main passions is long distance bike trails. And
I was going to ask you if that was an interest of yours, if that was a
absolutely.
Hobby.
Yeah. That's what kind of got me into doing the pedicab and all kinds of other stuff. But yeah, just this past summer, I did the Katy Trail in Missouri, which I went from St. Louis to Kansas City. It was like 320 miles all the way across Missouri. Man. Yeah, I did over 3 days, and it was a lot of fun. You see all these, you know, small towns that the bike trail is huge for their economy. You know, that they were first put on the map by the railroads, and then now that that railroad doesn't exist anymore, now it's a bike trail. It's people coming through on the bike trail that really helps out those economies. So it would be great for us here. So I'm going to YSU to get my master's in American studies. And so I'm doing the history of transportation along the Mahoning River while also advocating for active transportation trails.
Now we go motorhoming all over the country, and I have a set of bikes, but would you make fun of me if you found out that I have an electric Trek bike? Am I ruining the biking
putting
a battery on it?
No, I'm kind of sold on a good buddy of mine, Nick Celio, made the argument is like, you know, you could still ride for a same, but you'll cover more distance. So yeah, no, there is a good argument for electric assist. And also I'm a big fan of universal accessibility. So what's cool about electric is it doesn't matter what shape you're in, you know, you could still.
Well, here's how it happened. I didn't have the electric bikes, and we went to, what's the battlefield in Pennsylvania over
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg. And we ran the bike trail on Gettysburg, and I didn't realize how much incline there was on this route. And I'm pedaling this sucker, and I'm like, never again am I going to spend 10 hours biking around without a battery. And so I got the electric bike on the
nice. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting one too, especially doing this bike trail project, because I want to cover a lot of ground and I want to document a lot of it. But yeah, nothing wrong with electric. I think it really is the future. So, I mean, just, you know, as long as people keep it under like 25 miles an hour on these bike trails, I think electric is good for people to use, you know?
Yeah. And it, you know, you still have to pedal. So it's just an assist kind of thing. And it probably averages about 14 miles an hour, which is plenty, you know, good speed for, you know, setting a good pace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, I was just in Detroit and I was going around on their, they have a bike share program, and one of them, they do have an electric option on one of them. And I was in a hurry to see all of Belle Isle and make it all the way around because they do a 2-hour time limit. So I got one of the electric ones. And so, yeah, I was actually whizzing on that pretty good. Yeah, nice. It worked out great.
Very cool. All right. So you're an enthusiast for biking. What other outdoorsy stuff? Because this area is amazing for if you got a hankering for outdoor stuff. It's great. Yeah. Electric Park, the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually a board member of Friends of the Mahoning River as well. And I'm trying to get in more into kayaking and canoeing and all that. I don't have one of my own boats right now, but I've been learning a lot from the people in the group. So yeah, advocating for having the Mahoning River as a water trail, you know, so that's the ideal for us, is that we have the water trail, and then we also have the accessible bike, walking, running, whatever trail alongside it on land. So yeah, I joined Friends of Mahoning River for that reason. They advocate for water quality and stuff too.
We go up to Cook Forest, the Pale Whale deal, and we do like a 5-mile kayak trail. Nice. How comparable is, like, how far can you go on the Mahoning River? Could you do a couple miles?
Well, yeah, and that's the big thing right now, is these dams coming out, which is great for both the environment and also for using a water trail. So right now they're getting rid of the Struthers Dam. They got rid of the one in Lowville, they're getting rid of the one in Leavittsburg, and that's going to open up the river so that you could kayak, you know, feasibly from Newton Falls all the way to Newcastle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have any companies running services where the pickup drop off type of thing?
There are. Yeah. Actually, where's my hat?
Look at this. He comes prepared. Love it.
Yeah. These guys here, they have a spot in, Leavittsburg, Mahoning River Adventure, yeah, they have three different spots, Mahoning River Adventures. And they also have two different spots on the Cuyahoga River as well. So they rent kayaks. In Leavittsburg. And there's a new one starting up too. Dan Kuzma, I believe his name is. I can't remember what they're calling their business, but they're renting kayaks as well. I think it's going to be great in the next couple of years as these dams come out and people will see it as a transportation. Because that's originally, you know, the Mahoning River itself as transportation, and the path along it goes back millennia. You know, Native Americans, you know, use this path for centuries before.
But is it practical to be able to use it as a travel to get from city to city without having to like have a car set up or be able to get to the, you know, is yeah. it there yet?
Well, obviously it's easier going down river.
Sure. Right.
So it's better if we go. Yeah, that's the tough part. We're going up. I learned that going across Missouri. I'm reading about Lewis and Clark. Like, what idiots. They were going upriver the whole way. It's like, you know, and they had this ridiculous boat that like didn't go anywhere. And they just, you know, yeah, I don't know about those guys. But yeah, if you're going down river, it's faster. So, you know, ideally, you know, have like a bike and kayak race where people go from Newton Falls down to Newcastle on the boat and then pedal back.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's something we're talking about at with Friends of Mahoning River. My co-chair on the committee for public use and recreation, Zach Felger, he's a fisherman who fishes in the Mahoning River. And so we've been coming up with different ideas of, you know, different recreation and different like things to get people involved. So yeah, hopefully we'll have that run, bike, kayak, kind of like triathlon.
Do you sleep, man? I mean, 15 different businesses plus a bunch of outdoorsy type of stuff. I mean, you get about what, 4 hours of sleep a night?
I try to get 8 hours still, but like, yeah, every waking hour I like to do something. Right. Relaxing makes me nervous. So I always try to do something.
Very cool. All right. So what else is going on? What else do you want to talk about?
Going back to this whole bike trail project. Yeah. So not only am I advocating that we build the infrastructure for these trails, but also have cultural and historic interpretation along them. One of my favorite things, like I was just saying about Lewis and Clark, like I didn't know much about Lewis and Clark before riding across Missouri, but because there's historical panels along the whole way, you know, I was able to read about what goes on. Same thing around Kent. the bike trail goes through Kent, and they have great historic panels talking about the canal, talking about the railroads, talking about Native American history along it. So that's what I'm saying, is we got to have the infrastructure, but also let's have these historical panels along it and talk about our history here.
That's what made the Gettysburg bike deal, is you went to each one of the sites and it told you a whole story of what went on there.
Absolutely. So here we have, you know, the industrial heartland, you know, right. At one time Youngstown was the greatest steel producer in the world. And the Mahoning River obviously was the basis of that. So if we have these trails along the Mahoning, we can, you know, have a green future, but also talk about our industrial past and do historic preservation that way. So I'm getting my master's in the applied history program at YSU.
There's another thing, yeah. No more sleep for him.
Yeah. Dr. Tom Leary is my professor up there, and he's been, you know, really great and introduced me to a lot of things. And for instance, in 2019, Congressman Tim Ryan introduced the Steel Valley National Heritage Area, which said make this area a National Heritage Area as part of the National Park Service. So if that actually got passed, there would be federal resources to talk about our history and culture around here. So I'm saying let's get this bike trail built with infrastructure dollars, but let's use that money to then have historic interpretation along it too. So that's why I'm hoping ends up with my project. I'm trying to do all the research now. The project will stand alone as its own kind of like documentary thing, but I hope that it can also be useful in actually building this trail and doing the historic interpretation along it.
Does anybody track sort of like the tourism dollars that comes in from outside? Because I mean, you don't really see much of that, how many people make this a destination for that.
I'm sure, what's the county, like Live Youngstown or Youngstown Live? Youngstown Live, they probably have some good statistics on that because they're funded by a hotel room tax. So they have like some good like tourist statistics. And, you know, now that we have the DoubleTree Hotel down here, you know, Youngstown's exactly. contributing to that, those dollars yep. too. So yeah, they probably have some better statistics than
I'd be interested to see if you start connecting things in and bringing people, not even just downtown, but even as close as Mill Creek Park or something like that, mm-hmm. how much of an effect that would bring in.
Well, doing these long distance bike trips that I take, you know, people that I don't have much money, but a lot of these people who do are on this trail, a lot of them are people that are newly retired. And talking about the electric bikes, you see some of that too, you know, some people like in their, let's say, late 50s, early 60s. They're still young enough to travel that. I mean, they're energetic because they just retired. And those people got money, you know, and they spend it along the trail. So it'd be good for bringing those tourist dollars in. There's a lot of people who do that. But most important to me is that our residents too can use this for transportation. That we, to me, I believe that transportation is a universal right. You know, that you should have the universal right to transportation. And one of the problems with the way our country is set up right now is we put the car first since the 1950s, you know, and we have actually hurt our infrastructure for people getting around by other means for the sake of the car, which is good if you can afford a car. But a lot of people can't afford a car and they're reliant upon things. Like I think WRTA does a great job with the bus system. And what's cool is the buses have the bike.
Racks on front.
So that if we have an infrastructure that people don't have to use a car, one, it's better for the environment, it's better for people's health, and it's, to me, it's greater freedom. You know, it's, you know, I don't like being, and you get claustrophobic being on the road and in cars, whereas when you're actually just out and enjoying nature, you know,
fresh
it's
air,
better all
sun,
around.
Exercise.
Exactly.
Can't go wrong.
So yeah, we can set that up as in our community, and other communities are already doing it. Cleveland did a great job extending their bike path all the way into the flats. That's the Ohio Erie Canal Way. They extended all the way in. And now Cleveland finally has an entrance that rivals that of Pittsburgh. I mean, it's gorgeous coming in. You go past the steel mill and then you see the skyline coming in. And, you know, there's such great potential here to do that as well along the river.
Can I switch gears and ask you a Joe question? Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
So, my wife and I, we agreed when we first got married that I can pretty much do any business except for food. Like food is a tough business to get in.
It's
brutal and the margins and the headaches and the hours and whatever. So what, I mean, you're in food right now, I'm assuming, right? You'd probably spend a lot of time, you know, looking over those numbers and making sure that that math works. How bad is it right now with labor shortages and competing?
The labor shortage thing, that's a real struggle. And it's curious how, like, you know, why that is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of factors to it. I'm, like I said, I'm really lucky that I have great partners with the Martinis. You know, Sophia is great with the numbers. Dan is, you know, he was a carny from a young age, you know, running snack bars for the Girard High School band as a small kid. So he's been in the business for a while and they're a lot better at it than I am. My whole thing is I always wanted to make a community space. That was the whole impetus of the original Lemon Grove, is to make a welcoming space for everybody. And I succeeded in that. However, I couldn't say I like succeed at running a bar and restaurant. You know, that's day-to-day operations, my struggle. So I'm lucky to have good partners that actually make that happen. But yeah, because it's a tough business. Too. You know, people think, oh, you're rich, you own a business. No, money may come in, but it also goes out just as fast and things are always breaking. You know, coolers are expensive and everything. So yeah, it's a real tough business.
Yeah, I always see like restaurants as being even like a seasonal type of business where you make all your money in like these short spurts and these real dents. And then when it spreads out and you have to fill in the gaps between that. So you have a big event downtown, you fill the place up, but then 2 days out of the week, you had staffing and all your expenses and five people came through the joint. That'll kill you.
Yeah, it's tough. And luckily things are going good downtown. I do kind of worry about oversaturation because there's more and more bars and restaurants. But I think, you know, we're lucky we have a good loyal clientele and we're doing good. And the more the merrier down here, so long as this, you know, people actually fit into actual community, that they actually care about their neighbors. That's like one of the things that worries me with like the whole gentrification thing of having people with a come down here that don't actually understand cities and actually are a detriment to the neighborhood. So there's a little bit of that. But overall, we got a good community down there.
And I just think you give us the right megaphone and we tell the right story. You know, one of my goals is to like on a day that you pull people down for Breaking Benjamin and Papa Roach, that you give them the ideas of what to do while they're already down here. So they don't come here for the show and then pack up and, you know, head somewhere else to whatever, keep them down here as long as you possibly can.
That's one of my favorite things about doing the pedicab is it gets me out there and interacting with people and it really kind of connects the businesses rather than just a competition model of it actually joins together of all the different businesses.
Because you know your shit and you can tell them, you can give them a great tour of what to
do
down here.
I can tell you that every place down here, you know, I love taking people down to the Draft House. That's that and the Royal Oaks are the two oldest bars around down here. And so, you know, like taking people there, you know, it's great when people stay at the hotel because, you know, you'll get people in for these concerts that are from Toledo or something. First time in Youngstown, they don't know where to go. And luckily I can show them around and, you know, getting back to their hotel safe.
Oh, make your predictions. Is it what you're going to be asked for later on? Where do you think people are going to say? Are you going to say, hey, pedicab, take me to a restaurant? Are they going to take me to my hotel? Like, what do you think you're going to be asked to do?
Before the show, people will be at the restaurants around and I'll run them down to the Covelli. And then afterwards, when they're all streaming out, you know, I tell them $5 rides anywhere around downtown. And, you know, obviously I always plug the Federal, you know, number one. But besides that, of course, you know, all our other great people down there.
Okay. So you'll just ride them down and they'll pick out a good spot to eat or drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
And if they want an extended tour, you know, take them down around the amphitheater. There's the great new walking trails down there. Take them to see the new statue, Jackie Robinson and Shotgun Shuba statue. Take them around there. If they really want to make me work, I take them up the hill, Noble Creature up there. down the MVR. Yeah,
there's those tough inclines that say, where's the e-bike pedicab?
Yeah, which I am thinking about that, adding on a little bit of electric assist for going up the hills. Because I really want to make it to the west side, because we got great west side establishments too, with West Side Bowl and Cedars on the west side. So my goal is to be able to get the pedicab to take it to the west side. But it's too tough right now, because one, I can't stand the Mahoning Avenue Bridge. That not our Mr. Peanut Bridge down here. That's a good bridge. But the one that goes over to the west side, it's narrow, two lanes of traffic, and the sidewalks are real narrow. I couldn't fit on that. So I can't go that way with the pedicab. So I'd have to go down around the park, and then that's a real tough hill to go up by Castro Ramirez there. So I will need electric assist for that at some point, because I would love to be able to attach people to the west side too, you know?
All right. So question about this, and everybody's been asking about Phelps Street and the continuation of up and down and the stalling out of the project and whatever. And so what are your feelings on it? First off, I mean, you probably know more about the, you know, what's going on there than most people.
All right. So it was first talked about back under Jay Williams, you know, about making Phelps Street a pedestrian walkway, kind of like East 4th in Cleveland. And it's a great idea overall. My main concern is who's looking after it, you know, making sure about like the litter and everything. And there has been a few issues. And that's why I really think we need to have kind of like a community organization or the city, you know, someone actually look after it more. So one of the reasons why East 4th Works is in Cleveland is because they have a SID, a special improvement district, that where they have their own people cleaning up litter. They have their own security, you know, separate from the city. We need that here, but we need to make sure it's done right, because I don't want to pay more in property tax unless it's going to be done right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But that's something that's been floated around our council.
Well, who's doing it now? If they don't have somebody dedicated to it, is it just the businesses are doing it, or street department?
Yeah, even all that. Right. I think the deal is that the CCA cleans up on Mondays. And then, yeah, other than that, I think it's just up to the businesses to clean up, which sometimes some do and some don't. You know, like some businesses are proactive on that street about it and other ones aren't.
Yeah,
you know?
When they do the parade down here and they end up down there, they clean up those streets like that. I was so impressed with how quickly they took a parade where candy was everywhere and litter was everywhere. And by the next morning, I mean, it was amazing again.
Yeah. Yeah. When they're on it, they're on it. Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, that's something that the city, I think, needs. Like I said, I think we should have when the special improvement districts extend. It would be good for marketing, too. Like Columbus, Ohio has a good one, like on the Short North, and they do a good job marketing for all the businesses. So it would be good, but I just want to make sure it is done right.
Is that private or is that a part wing of the city government?
So it's its own private organization, but it's attached to property taxes.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm a property taxpayer and it would make me nervous, you know, my property taxes going up even more, but it's taxes, in my opinion, it's about a return on investment.
Right.
You know, you're investing money into the public good and you want to get a return on it. Some taxes are a waste of money, you know. Yeah, we won't go too far into politics. Right. But it's
that
like
didn't take long.
Yeah. We'll try to, yeah, I don't want to get too far in the weeds on politics. But here's the thing is like, yeah, we're making that investment. So, yes, as a business owner, as a property owner, yeah, I'll pay more in this about getting a better return. If it means that we have a cleaner neighborhood, if it means we're joining together and marketing our downtown, then yeah, you get a return on the investment. Everyone wins. So that's, I kind of, like I said, I hope we do a SID. Our councilman, Julius Oliver, has been talking about and some other organizations down here. But I'm going to make sure I'm going to be at the table of that. Cause like I said, I don't want to pay more money unless it's going to be done right.
Yeah. Well, this was a great introduction, man. I really appreciate you coming down here doing this. I think we're going to do this regularly and we get to tell our story and have fun doing it.
Sounds good, Joe. I'm up for it. Yeah.
All right, man. All right. Stay tuned. We'll probably come back with another episode next week.